When it comes to measuring time in the pivotal moments of our lives, clocks are meaningless. And calendars don't really mean that much either. The secular calendar tells us that the new year begins on January 1st. The first Sunday of Advent marks a new year for us as Christians. But for those of us who live in the real world, we know that the new year starts now, at the beginning of September. Even in the midst of the timeless world of COVID-19, there is a sense in which it's time. Time to arise from the slumber of our summer leisure, or from the hot, humid anxiety of our changed world, and somehow get back to the grind. To try to return to some sense of normalcy by somehow starting over. We do this every year when September hits. How much more poignant but important it is now to just start over, to get back to normal. God, I long for that. Don't you? And by coincidence or providence, the reading from Exodus is telling us just that. The Lord said to Moses, "This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year." And when we read it carefully, we realize that God is saying to Moses, because of what is going on right now, time is being reset. God is saying that this pivotal event, the Passover, is so important to his relationship with his people that they should change the calendar, that this day marks a special occasion in their relationship, a new beginning. It's the same way that we track significant events in our own relationships. The clocks and calendars of our inner lives are so different than those that the world would have us follow. But in a way, maybe like some new beginnings, this is more of an anniversary for God and the Israelites. A time when they look back at a season of their life together and, like any relationship, reflect on the promises that they have made to one another. After all, that's what really matters in any relationship, isn't it? The most important gift that we have to give to one another are the promises that we make. And that's already happened for God and her people long before today's reading from Exodus. Reaching back into the history of our ancestors in the faith, a covenant was made with Abraham and Sarah. God made promises in the relationship, and so did his people. But here in this passage from Exodus, we see the relationship a few years down the road, at a time when the honeymoon is long forgotten. And it's a difficult time for the relationship between God and the Israelites. After 400 years of slavery, they felt kind of abandoned by God. It's as though communication has broken down in the relationship, and they just can't hear or see that God has never stopped loving them. It's a time of crisis. Try to imagine, just for a moment, what this night must have been like for the Israelites. I know it looks lovely and placid and beautiful in the stained glass image of the Passover that's behind me and that's on the bulletin cover. But these people were on the threshold of being led out of captivity. All of these disasters and plagues had been visited upon the Egyptians, but still they weren't free. In the silence, I'm sure they were asking themselves, would God really be there to free them from Pharaoh? Was God going to remain faithful to her word and keep the relationship going? Would the plagues end? Would death really pass them over? Well, this new beginning that God promises in Exodus would be the test. I'm sure that the coincidence of hearing this passage when we are in the middle of a pandemic, with a plague hanging over our heads, seeking release and freedom, is not lost on any of us. But the focus of this passage is not on the plague or the plight. It's on the relationship. The Passover, the witness of our ancestors in the faith, is meant to teach us how we keep faith and hope and trust in our relationship with God and one another alive. Like the Israelites huddled in the darkness of the night, there are times when we wonder, in our relationship with God and with each other, if the promises that were made to us will be kept, if the other will remain faithful. There's no shame in doubt. We trust that the other will keep their promises, but we're not sure. We know that we are loved and cared for, but we still feel isolated or abandoned sometimes. We still experience doubt, especially when the night is long and the plague is all around us. It is at these times, especially when we are existentially vulnerable as we are now, that we fail to be all that we can be to the ones that we are supposed to love, our neighbor and God. And that's where the gospel comes in. Jesus is addressing the crowd and trying to tell them how to manage conflicts in their own relationships. Remember, he's just told the crowd the parable of the lost sheep, a story about how God will never abandon them in their relationship with her. And now he tells them something about their relationship with one another. If anyone sins, confront the other person directly. If they don't listen, take two others along with you. You know, confront the problem, try to resolve it, seek arbitration, bring the issue to the larger community, and if that doesn't work, well, shut the person out. It sounds simple, except that we often forget how Jesus treated Gentiles and tax collectors. We tend to read this passage as though when we can't get along in relationships, there comes a point when they just have to end. When really, Jesus is saying something very different. Yes, there is a time when relationships end. But when communication breaks down, when conflict is raging between you and the other, maybe that's the time not to end it, but for a new beginning. Because when Jesus says, when all else fails, to treat the other person like a Gentile or tax collector, he is inviting us to treat the one who has wronged us the way that Jesus himself treated them. We so often forget that in the last few chapters, Jesus has been making relationships with those whom the rest of his people would shun. He's been healing and preaching to the Gentiles, not as if they were his own people, but because they are his own people. Jesus is trying to make the crowd understand that the covenant that God made with his chosen people is a promise that keeps on growing until it embraces all people. So vital to hear those words, especially at this moment, when we look at the conflicts that are plaguing our humanity at this time. Black Lives Matter and the need for Indigenous justice, they are all about divisions, about the barriers that we put up, defining relationships as us versus them. I'm sure you have the same response that I do as you turn on the news week by week. I just can't believe, in one sense, that it keeps on happening again and again and again. And yet part of me knows that it keeps on happening because we do not see one another as created in the image of God. But in the gospel, Jesus is asking us to build not barriers, but bridges. Create the spaces where we recognize that we are all created in God's image. So our diversity and our differences don't separate us from one another. They actually make us one as God is one. Amen.